Romans chapter number 3. For those of you who are not with us every week, you'll realize that I'm going through the book of Romans verse by verse in the morning services until we finish, or until I'm finished, one or the other, okay? If the Lord comes back from the rapture, you'll excuse me for not finishing, okay? That'll be all right. We're going to be looking this morning at Romans 3, 27 through 31. We're dealing in our message with the results of righteousness by faith. You should have been given some notes. I do that. I know it makes a little bit of awkwardness for the presentation. I want you to know I am not an entertainer, and I have no intention of trying to entertain anybody. I have every intention of teaching the Bible and teaching it accurately so that you can understand it and so that you can go out and live in accordance with it. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, we've noted the theme of Romans. It is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The one who is made righteous by faith in Christ's finished work on the cross at Calvary is the same one who will have eternal life. The first major section of Romans deals with man's lack of righteousness. It shows the need for the righteousness of God. All humanity lacks the righteousness of God and therefore stands condemned before God and deserving of spending eternity in hell. Romans 3:21 begins the second major section of the book of Romans. It deals with God's provision of righteousness or justification by faith, and it extends from Romans 3:21 through 5:21. In Romans 3:21 through 31, we see God's righteousness provided by faith. So every saved person has the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God apart from the law is made known, according to verse 21. It has been mentioned throughout the Old Testament, and it is made available to all, to everyone, by faith in Christ, and is in fact given to all who believe. It is needed by all because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This righteousness of God is received freely by His grace and comes through the redemption that is in Christ. When Christ died for sin on the cross, He not only secured the release of believers from slavery to sin, but He also satisfied the wrath of God, which was directed against the individual sinner because of his sin. Of course, we know that that becomes effective for each believer at the instant he believes the gospel. Furthermore, the cross not only establishes the righteousness of God in forgiving sin prior to the cross, meaning in the Old Testament, but also provides righteousness for the one who believes in Jesus in the present. So when God looks at you who believe, He sees you as one who has His righteousness because of your relationship to His Son, the Lord Jesus. Faith thus excludes boasting because faith involves no merit on the part of the individual. Therefore, Paul concludes that righteousness is obtained by faith apart from the keeping of the law. However, far from making the law powerless, righteousness by faith validates the law. We've seen the method of salvation presented in Romans 3:21 through 26, which reads, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of, meaning in, Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, going back into verses 21 through 26, we see that salvation has a threefold nature. First of all, salvation is by faith. Salvation is by faith of or in Jesus Christ, meaning by faith placed in Jesus Christ. Secondly, salvation is adapted to all humanity. Salvation is available unto all, and it's also given upon all them that believe. Thirdly, we see that salvation is free. So it's by faith. It's adapted to all humanity, and it is free. We've also seen that salvation's ground is the redemption in Christ, who is the propitiation for sins. If you need help spelling propitiation, I guess you can look it up, okay? It starts out P-R-O-P-I-T, okay? And if you get that far in your computer, it'll probably give you the rest of it, although some of these computer programs might be kind of liberal and they may not know what the Bible is all about. If you need help with that, see me after the service. I'll get it straight for you. Anyway, salvation's ground is the redemption in Christ, who is the propitiation for sins. There you go. You can look it up in Romans 3:25. This means that God's wrath for our sins was poured out on Christ and the cross at Calvary. His death by crucifixion, which involved the shedding of his blood, appeased the wrath of God and consequently provided for the removal of God's wrath from us who believe by placing our trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, if we've received Christ as our Savior, his wrath is no longer directed against us. And there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no more a death penalty because of sin for any of us. We've furthermore seen that salvation's twofold object. In the first place, salvation's object is to declare God's righteousness, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. It is demonstrating God's uprightness, thereby vindicating him for forgiving sin in the Old Testament. Remember, the penalty for sin had to be paid. But God forgave sin in the Old Testament before the penalty was paid. The penalty was not paid until the cross. But several thousand years had expired and people had been forgiven on credit, on the basis that Christ would eventually die on the cross, though they didn't necessarily realize how that was going to take place. God took care of it by paying that sin price for them. In the second place, salvation's object is to reconcile God's justice and God's mercy, that he, meaning God the Father, might be just or righteous, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, meaning that God the Father might declare someone who believes in Jesus to be righteous. And if you are a saved person, the instant you trusted Christ as your Savior, God declared you to be righteous. That's righteous in our position in Christ. We need to bring our practice into line with our position and be righteous in the way we live. As we move on into verses 27 through 31, which is what we're considering in this message, we see the results of righteousness by faith. We take note that righteousness by faith excludes boasting. The question is asked in verse 27, where is boasting then? And it is answered, it is excluded. By what law or by what principle? Of works? Nay, it's a strong negative. But by the law or the principle of faith. Verse 27 is drawing an inference from the fact that God has declared the one who believes in Jesus to be righteous. The word then is the tip-off that this is an inference. Then is understood in the sense of therefore, or consequently, or accordingly, or so. Where is boasting suggests? Where is bragging in our obtaining righteousness? Or where is taking pride in our obtaining righteousness? It reminds us that if righteousness were obtained by means of the works of the law, there might be some room for boasting or bragging. However, since righteousness comes only by faith and is free, there is no room whatsoever for boasting or bragging. In his omniscience, God has eliminated any and all bragging in our having obtained righteousness. Due to God's omniscience, there are never any unintended consequences to whatever God does. I'm sure our politicians could wish that they never had any unintended consequences. We certainly wish that. We wish we never had any unintended consequences of decisions we have made. But God is omniscient and we're not. And he will never see any unintended consequences of anything he has done. And then we look at that phrase, it is excluded. It means it's shut out. This answers the question. The tense of is excluded indicates action, which was completed as a whole in the past, in the sense of it was excluded or it was shut out. And it has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Boasting was excluded by God, by his provision of salvation, by faith in the finished work of Christ at the cross. And it continues to be excluded today, and it will always continue to be excluded. There is no boasting or bragging in our salvation except in what God through Christ has done for us. We can boast in that. That's legitimate. But you didn't earn it, and neither did I. And we're so thankful that God gave it to us. Another question is raised and answered. By what law? Of works? By what law is through what sort or kind of law or legal code or principle is boasting excluded? Boasting or bragging is not excluded through any kind of law or principle of works. Of works suggests through works, through deeds, through actions, through accomplishments, or through anything else anyone could do to earn his salvation. Salvation cannot be earned. We know that. And we're glad because we'd never know if we paid enough to get it done. But we have it because God provided it. Boasting was not excluded by works. Nay, by no means. It's a strengthened form in the Greek text of the word not. But introduces a statement in strong contrast to the questions by what law and of works. Boasting was excluded by the law, meaning by the principle or by the system of faith, which is belief or trust. Faith is the law or the principle or the system which has excluded boasting by believers who have been declared righteous by God. Self did not and self could not earn salvation in any way, and therefore self provided no reason for boasting. Boasting, bragging, or pride in our earning our own salvation by anything we can do is eliminated by salvation by faith. That is, by believing or trusting in what Christ has done for us on the cross. We didn't do anything to earn this forgiveness for our sins and our ultimate home in heaven. Besides that, we don't deserve it. Christ did it all for us. The only legitimate boast we can have is in what Christ has done for us. Verse 28 summarizes verses 21 through 27. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, which means declared righteous, by faith without, meaning apart from, the deeds of the law. Therefore, same word translated then in verse 27, indicating that an inference is being drawn and understood in the sense of accordingly or consequently or then or so. We conclude that, where we is Paul. You remember, I've talked about this we stuff a lot of times. My wife used to say to me, honey, we need to do something. She never intended to participate in it. She was meaning that I needed to do something. Well, here Paul is just taking this literary plural and applying it to himself. We conclude that is we think that, we believe that, or we are of the opinion that. And a man is the generic term for human being. So it includes the ladies as well as the men. It's understood, therefore, in the sense of humanity or of a person. We conclude that a person, ladies, men, children, is justified, indicates that God the Father is declaring him to be righteous by faith. By means of faith, by means of belief or believing, or by means of trust. We were saved when we placed our trust in what Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary and in his subsequent resurrection. Without the deeds of the law means apart from the deeds, apart from the works, apart from the actions, or apart from the accomplishments of the law, which suggests from a legal code. Keeping the law, specifically the Mosaic law, will save no one, because no one has kept the law perfectly. Believing in Christ is the only means of salvation by which anyone may be saved, and all, everyone who exercises faith in Christ will be saved. There's no doubt about it. There is nothing anyone can do to earn salvation. It is received by faith or it's not received at all. We're reminded of some verses. Romans 3:24, being justified or declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're also reminded of Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace are ye saved, means you have been saved, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the existing result of being saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Grace and faith in the Greek text are both feminine. That in the Greek text is neuter, which means that it is not referring either to faith or to grace. So what does it mean? It means that it's referring to the process of being saved by grace through faith. The process of being saved by grace through faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. If it were by works, we'd be sitting around bragging about telling how wonderful it was that we were able to earn our salvation. God eliminated that, didn't he? And that was good. For we are his workmanship. You mean you and I are a work of God? Yes, that's exactly what it means. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what God expects us to be doing. It's not how we got our salvation, but it's what we're supposed to be doing now that we have our salvation, which God hath before ordained or appointed that we should walk or live in them. Righteousness results in doing good works, but righteousness does not come because of doing good works, which we understand clearly. Not only does righteousness by faith exclude boasting, but we also see in verses 29 through 30 that righteousness by faith is equally suited to all people. It doesn't matter what color skin they have. It doesn't matter whether they're old or young. It doesn't matter whether they have a southern drawl or whether they come from the north someplace and they don't have that. They might even have a Brooklyn accent. That's different. I don't have one of them. I grew up in the Midwest, so if I don't sound like some of you where you grew up, that's probably some of the reason. Some people have different accents. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Male, female, young, old, rich, poor, famous, infamous. Salvation by faith, righteousness by faith is equally suited to all people. Now, he's going to ask particularly about the Jews versus the Gentiles. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. In verse 29, Paul asks two questions and then answers them both. The first question is he the God of the Jews only? He, of course, is referring to God the Father, and it's been supplied by the translators as is indicated by the italics. The God of the Jews only implies the God only of Jews, which would exclude all Gentiles. Paul answers this question with his second question and with his answer to the second question. Is he not also of the Gentiles? The structure of this second question in the Greek text indicates that it is anticipating a yes or a positive answer. It's understood in the sense of he is also the God of the Gentiles, isn't he? And assumes, yes, he is. Well, lest there be any doubt, Paul answers further, yes, of the Gentiles also. Although the Jews may have thought so, God is not the God of Jews exclusively. He is the God of Gentiles as well as the God of the Jews. Verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Verse 30 is providing the reason God is not only the God of the Jews, but is also the God of the Gentiles. Seeing is used in the sense of since, indeed, or in view of the fact that it is one God is literally one is God and refers to the God the Father, which refers to God and is understood in the sense of who shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith indicates that faith is the means by which both the circumcision, meaning the Jews, and the uncircumcision, meaning the Gentiles, will be justified. Shall justify is, will declare righteous. The circumcision, of course, refers to Jews. By faith indicates the means by which God will justify Jews or declare Jews to be righteous. It is by reason of faith, belief, or trust. And the uncircumcision, which represents non-Jews or Gentiles through faith, is literally through the faith. Through introduces the cause which brings about the justification of Gentiles. This cause is faith, meaning belief or trust in Jesus Christ's death on the cross and in his subsequent resurrection from the dead. And in case you were wondering, by faith and through faith mean exactly the same thing. Faith is the means by which both the circumcision, meaning the Jews, and the uncircumcision, meaning the Gentiles, will be justified. There are not two gods involved who might justify differently. There is only one God, and he will justify both Jews and Gentiles in exactly the same way. This way is by faith. And that's exactly how he will declare you or me or anyone else righteous. It will be in exactly the same way, whether it's somebody that's old, somebody that's young, somebody that's middle-aged, somebody that's got a different skin color, somebody that grew up in a foreign country. It doesn't make any difference, even if they came from a place that you couldn't stand to live. They're still saved in exactly the same way, and it is by faith in what Christ did for us on the cross and in his subsequent resurrection from the dead. As we go on, we remind ourselves that all people need righteousness by faith because they don't have any righteousness of their own. As it is written in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. As it is written in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The condition of believing the gospel message is the same for all people. I cannot emphasize that too much. I know I've said it more than once. I haven't kept track of how many times I've repeated it, but I do want to get the emphasis across to you. There's only one means of salvation. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in case nobody's ever explained that to you, the way you receive him is by believing on his name. Those two statements are equivalent in their understanding. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What if he's not one of the elect? He qualifies by whosoever believeth in him. Okay? Salvation is not limited to any group. It's limited only by those who believe in him. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The idea is anybody who will invite Christ in, Christ's coming in. And will save that person. Well, as we continue in our chapter, not only does righteousness by faith exclude boasting, and not only is righteousness by faith suitable to all people, but we also see in verse 31 that righteousness by faith establishes the law. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Verse 31 asks, what effect justification by faith has on the law? Paul is probably anticipating this question on the part of some Jew. He had undoubtedly been asked this question on other occasions. Then introduces an inference drawn from the fact that Jews and Gentiles are both saved by faith. It's understood in the sense, as we said earlier, therefore, consequently, accordingly, or so. Do we make void the law through faith? Are we invalidating the law through faith? Are we making ineffective the law through faith? Are we making the law powerless through faith? Here the law is referring to the Mosaic law. Through faith is the identical phrase found in verse 30 and again indicates the cause which brings about justification of those who believe. As in verse 30, this cause is faith, meaning belief or trust in Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his subsequent resurrection from the dead. Through faith suggests, does salvation by faith, meaning by believing or trusting in the gospel message that Christ died on the cross in payment for our sins, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, does salvation by faith undo the effects of the law? Paul's answer begins with, God forbid. I've told you before, this is not a literal translation. It is a paraphrase of a very strong negative reply to Paul's question. If translated literally, God forbid means, may it never be. May it never happen. May it never come to pass. And it's understood in the sense of absolutely not, by no means, or perish the thought. It is expressing utter abhorrence at the very idea that faith invalidates the law. Yea is emphatic, and it's understood in the sense of rather. Rather, we establish the law. It continues Paul's answer to the question, does salvation by faith undo the effects of the law? We establish suggests we are putting or placing or setting. That's when used literally, but it's used figuratively in this verse. And it's variously rendered, we are reinforcing the law's validity. We are upholding the law. We are maintaining the law, or we are validating the law. Far from rendering the law ineffective, faith validates the law. Well, you say, well, how does it validate the law? Well, stay tuned. The next paragraph in my notes is going to tell you that. The one attempting to earn his salvation by his good deeds will learn to his dismay that he has not fulfilled the law. Unfortunately, he's going to end up in the lake of fire. By contrast, the one who is justified by faith has realized that he is a sinner because the law has shown him that he's not perfect before God. He thus establishes the law in its proper use by acknowledging that he stands justly condemned before a holy God. He also recognizes that the demands of the law have been fulfilled by Christ in his substitutionary death on the cross for sin. Christ also established the law by obeying it perfectly and by enduring its penalty in his death on the cross. When Christ shouted triumphantly, "It is finished," the just demands of the law had been forever satisfied. What a wonderful salvation we have. The conclusion of the matter is that righteousness by faith excludes boasting. Aren't we glad for that? Everyone needs to be saved. Aren't we glad somebody taught us that? No one will go to heaven who has not been saved. We all stand condemned before a holy God and deserve to spend eternity in hell. But God has made righteousness in his sight available for us on the condition that we place our trust in Christ as our own personal Savior. And so I ask you, have you had a genuine heart experience with God and entrusted yourself to him because of what Jesus did for you on the cross at Calvary? I surely hope so. If not, I'd sure love to speak with you sometime and explain to you or answer your questions what you need to do in order to be saved. So one more question, then I'm going to quit. I know you've been waiting for this last question for a long, long time. That's all right. You'll get over it soon. Out of gratitude for what he did for you, have you dedicated or given your life to live for Jesus? That's what you need to do. And if I can help you with that, I would be delighted to do so. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for what we've been able to learn in this portion of Romans. Thank you for giving us this information. Help us, our Father, to understand it. Help us to apply its understanding to our hearts and to our minds. And help us to be forever appreciative of all that you've done for us in sending the Lord Jesus to die on that cross at Calvary for our sins. I pray that you'll meet these people's needs. Thank you for each one that's here. Bless them, our Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.